Mailbag Monday, Malcolm Brogdon questions, a creative use for the TPE, and is there an ulterior motive to Boss's moves to get Kevin Durant? It's all right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready, recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked On number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how it started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked On Celtics pod, home of the winners. B.
Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, special Independence Day edition fireworks. Now, these are your fireworks right here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hope you enjoy the show. Listening on a day off, if you're in the United States, whatever you're doing, if you're having people over for a barbecue or something like that, pop the show on, enjoy the show, put it on, watch the show on YouTube, put it on the TV for people to kind of listen to in the background and watch. For those of you outside of the United States, it's Monday. So happy Monday to you. You're watching, you're listening on your way to work, whatever it is. I do appreciate you doing so. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. And I was one of the media voters for the Celtics 75th anniversary team. Today's show brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is where the game starts. Diving into the mailbag, trying to do regular mailbag Mondays to kick off the week. Lots of questions coming in after the Celtics made their moves. So let's just dive right in. Nathan, now that Brogdon is a Celtic, who starts? How do the rotations work? This feels like Smart will play some non-point guard minutes, which isn't great. Unless they plan to play combos of White, Smart, and Brogdon at times to increase playmaking, this could be a mess. This is an ulterior kind of thought process to the Celtics trade. If you listen to the bonus podcast that we did over the weekend, me and Tom Westerholm, we both really think this trade is going to be good for the Celtics. Marcus Smart is the starter. You saw multiple reports over the weekend that Marcus Smart is the starter. It was put out there very clearly. They made this move with the intent of keeping Marcus Smart as the starter. I will say, this is a topic that came up. I was on Channel 5 in Boston, and one of the questions was, hey, what if Brogdon just beats out Marcus Smart? What if they start with Smart and Malcolm just takes the spot? If that's the case, then so be it. If the Celtics determine that they're better off with Smart coming off the bench and Brogdon starting, then that's so be it. Then that's how it works. That's how it goes. I can't say now whether that's a good decision or a bad decision because we haven't seen any basketball yet from these guys. I think having Brogdon come off the bench is a really good idea, a really good move. It's you keep a starting unit intact that's been extraordinary. So why mess with that? Why mess with something that really, really worked? And then you have help off the bench in Brogdon, Gallinari, that adds depth, adds scoring punch, adds another versatile player. I mean, let's face it. The people who say, hey, finally, a pass-first point guard, they basically average the same assists. They're both just under five assists, like 4.5. They both average about the same. It's just that Brogdon is a better shooter, more reliable shooter, but that's it. Smart's better at defense. Brogdon's a little bit better shooting. They both pass. I think Smart's a better passer, but Brogdon is also a really good passer, and they both average about the same amount of assists. So they're both very similar. So the rotations, you can play those two together. I am not much of a fan of Smart off the ball, but this is something I have to get used to. Smart off the ball is just, there are going to have to be minutes with Smart playing the two or the three. The good news is that with another ball mover out there, and if they do decide to go Smart, White, Brogdon with, I don't know, Tatum and Brown, that would be a small lineup. If you go small with those guys, then you've got ball movement and playmaking like crazy. So I think that would be it would be an interesting thing to look at. I want to see that lineup. I think we might see some of that in the preseason. I kind of want to see how that goes. But I think you just go with the regular starting lineup that we've been used to, that has been proven to work, and you play Brogdon his 30 minutes off the bench, which isn't hard to do, and you go from there, and then you make your tweaks. If the season goes along and Smart is outplayed by Brogdon and you switch, I'd like to think that Marcus is aware of the decision, aware of why that decision would be made at that point, and that he would understand it. I think every player understands that more talent, more competition, you still have to, you know, nothing's taken for granted. Nothing's a given. And if you go out there and you treat your position like it's a given, which I don't think Smart would do, but if you did and you get beat out for that spot, that's your fault. So I think Smart is safe, but if for some reason they determine that it's better flipped, then so be it. I think Ime and his staff and Marcus would have a discussion about that, and I think everybody would get to on the same page. He wouldn't like it, but that's, you got to do what you got to do at that point. I don't know if it'll get to that point. It certainly could. It's not out of the question. But I don't think that's the likely path. We'll have to wait and see. Crazy things happen in the season. You know, Smart could get hurt. Brogdon can step into the starting lineup. And if they were struggling a little bit for some reason and Brogdon steps in and everything is fixed, then, you know, there are any number of theoretical scenarios. But right now I see Smart as the starter. I don't think it's a question. I think everybody's going to be happy this way. Malcolm tweeted out, you know, one goal, and it's him, you know, dribbling by in front of a banner. This was a couple of seasons ago in front of one of the Celtics championship banners when they had them dropped in the no fan portion of the season a couple of seasons ago. So one goal, he's ready to win a championship. He'll do whatever it takes. Dania says, since we're already a deeper team, do you think it would be beneficial to have a Udonis Haslem type player at the end of the bench who's won a championship and is not going to play, but would essentially be a de facto player coach to help us get over the mental hurdle of winning a title? If so, any suggestions? I get that. I think it's tough to bring that player in and say, here you go, sit at the end of the bench. Like an Andre Iguodala, sit at the end of the bench and espouse your knowledge. I think what makes Haslem work in Miami is because he's been part of that franchise forever. And I think that's what makes him effective. Bringing in a guy that has won a championship at this point, I don't know what... I totally get it. And I support the concept, I think, in general. I think the Celtics at this point, you just got two wins away from winning a championship and you kind of blew it. I think that lesson replaces the veteran at the end of the bench who says, all right, let me tell you a little story about what it takes to win a championship. I think the Celtics just learned the hard way what it takes to win a championship. I think they got that drilled into them. And that's something that they understand now, because there was another level that they couldn't get to. And the Warriors did, and the Warriors won. So I think that lesson is a hard lesson to learn, but that, I think, replaces the need for your Haslem type. So I would have said, if they didn't get this far, if they lost to Milwaukee, then I might have agreed with the concept, with the notion that maybe they would need somebody like that. Get somebody in. Getting to that point and having what happened is lesson enough. And I think they should understand that. So we'll just leave that there. Going to come back. Question about the TPE and a creative use, a way to use it creatively. I actually might have an idea for the Celtics. We'll get to that after I talk about Bet Online, your number one source for all your betting needs, sports information. You can find all the latest developments, league reviews, everything Major League Baseball, everything you want on the fights, MMA, boxing, you want golf, you want WNBA. I just went to my first WNBA game of the season, Connecticut Sun, huge comeback against the Washington Mystics, down by, I think, as many as 15 or 17 at one point. So some in-game betting, if you probably, the odds on them winning that game would have been huge. Pop on Bet Online at halftime, say, you know what, I'm going to take these odds on a comeback by the Sun. Could have done that. That probably would have paid off big. It's your best spot for all the sports, scores, podcasts, and news. So hit the website. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline is where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. How about making Locked On NBA your second listen every day? I host it on Wednesdays, so you want to have my league-wide insight? Come on over to Locked On NBA. Wednesdays, it's me and Jake Madison. But listen every day, Monday through Friday. Rotating hosts, it's a great look at the NBA league as a whole. Make it your second listen after Locked On Celtics. Find it wherever you found Locked On Celtics. It's on YouTube as well. Get back into the mailbag. TPE questions, starting with Scott. Hey, John, what do you think about using the TPE to grab one of Rashawn Holmes or Mason Plumlee if they are made available? Look, for me, I'm all about keep adding. So any one of these guys, the Celtics have a need for a third big. They just signed Luke Kornet. They gave him a two-year deal. Don't know the specifics. Probably some non-guarantee in there somewhere. Probably a minimum deal. And Luke Kornet as a third big is fine. He's fine. 10 minutes off the bench to spell one of Horford or Rob. That's fine. It's not a big deal. But if they really wanted to go all out, you find somebody with that $17 million TPE. And I don't know who it might be, but I think if the Celtics were able to use that to shore up the center position, then great. But the problem is it's so much money to spend. If you sign a guy, because they're going into the top tier, and they're right now they're being taxed at $3.50 per dollar. So if you sign a guy for $2 million, then you're paying $7 million in taxes, because that $1 million is $3.5 million in taxes. So $7 million in tax is a lot. There are guys out there. You might be able to get Thomas Bryant. People talk about Thomas Bryant, Gorgui Jang. Those guys could be minimum guys. I hope they don't get Hassan Whiteside. Please don't get Hassan Whiteside. I do not want to live in a world where the Celtics get Hassan Whiteside. I've never had a good thing to say about him, and I just don't want him in Boston. That said, knowing my track record of guys who I want the Celtics to sign going away, like the next day I mention them, this is probably the reverse. Like I'm probably going to stop this recording and flip on Twitter and the Celtics are signing Hassan Whiteside to a minimum. No. I think they could probably try adding somebody with a minimum. I don't think they need to go crazy at this point. There are enough names out there where you don't need to go this route. And you can sign somebody who does a good enough job without having to use the TPE. But like I said, I'm all for bringing in more talent. It's not my money. Go ahead and spend it. But I understand from a basketball perspective, you give a guy $2 million and then you get taxed at $7 million. You're paying essentially $9 million for one of these that gets to be like, it stops making basketball sense. So I understand. However, Brixen asks, after the recent signings, I'm wondering how might we look to use that $17 million TPE, deciding those two guys change the way the season might look to use it. Is there a way we could get creative with it? Creative with it. How do you get creative with $17 million TPE? Well, one way to do it is by using it as a salary dump. Now, the question is, would it be a salary that you're able to trade later as part of a bigger deal to bring in another player? That's the only way, because at this point you bring in a salary dump, you take a $10 million salary and bring it in and pay taxes on that all season. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. If you want to get creative with it and take somebody in that's a mid salary that you think, if you're in the middle, if you think you're going for a big deal in the middle of the season, if you're going for a big trade deadline deal and you need somebody at that salary to make that big swing, then you bring that person in and you say, hey, here's a $10, $12 million salary that we're going to need to aggregate. And that's just somebody that we expect to not have around. We expect to make a big deal in the middle of the season. If that's the case, then yes, that's the only way. And even that I think is a reach. I just don't think they use it anymore. And the reporting out there after the Brogdon trade was they wanted to use it. They tried to use it, but all of the possibilities that were out there didn't live up to the Brogdon deal. The Brogdon deal was basically in place and the TPE didn't bring back anybody of any consequence, anybody that made quite the same basketball sense as Malcolm Brogdon. So if that's the case, then essentially you can say, well, the point of the TPE was to make a big trade and they made a big trade. It just so happened that it involved players. The best part about the trade is that it didn't involve any rotation players. I mean, Nesmith wasn't in the rotation. None of the other guys that were salary ballast were in the rotation. Daniel Theis was in and out of the rotation, and he did provide some valuable minutes. He was big in that Brooklyn series. Got to remember, he did have contributions in that Brooklyn series. And then after that, he just wasn't playable after that because of the matchups. But he still played somewhat of a role. And so it's not nothing to lose Daniel Theis, but it's not the biggest deal in the world either. So what you get back in exchange is much, much, much better. So that's fine. To me, not using the TPE is fine at this point because you've made your big trade. You've accomplished your goal. There's no need to use it. So you can get creative. There are ways to get creative. You can try to use it to bring in some sort of additional assets, trade assets, draft assets that you can turn around and use if you want to bring back some sort of first round pick in this upcoming draft. So you can use that and trade that out again. Fine. But I would expect, my expectation is that they don't use it at all. And it just expires. Again, the Celtics being in the tax, that this high into the tax, I think is capping where the Celtics can go. Could they use it? I would fully support them using it. But this is where the difference between the Celtics and the Warriors and other tax-paying teams, the Clippers, that's where you really, really get into the difference. Because the Celtics, the Clippers don't own their building, but they're building their own building. And Ballmer is richer than God. The Warriors do own their own building, and that's that, that helps them print money. The Celtics are in a much, much different position. And this is, it's understandable to me. It's understandable. We'll come back with the question, did this Brogdon trade actually get the Celtics in position to make a bigger trade for Kevin Durant? We'll see. We'll talk about that after I talk about Rock Auto. Tons of cars out there on the road. Just take a quick drive. You'll see all sorts of makes and models. It's impossible for one of these chain stores in the strip malls to have everything all of these cars need. Just not possible. They don't have the shelf space. They don't have all of those parts. So if you go in there and ask for something after all the time you're going to spend telling that person all the specs for your car, they're going to give you, here's the one thing that we have that you're looking for, and you're going to be forced to buy it. You're not going to have a ton of options like you would at rockauto.com. Don't waste your time telling that person at the desk all that stuff. Enter that information into your own computer at your own leisure. And then when you get to their very easy to navigate catalog, you're going to see everything, all the different parts that are available. Same part, different price points, fits your budget, fits what you're looking for, and reliably low prices. You're going to save a lot of money buying from rockauto.com. No matter how complicated, no matter how simple, you need something for the engine, great. It's going to be there for your car, truck, SUV, motorcycle. If you're like me, I am completely ignorant when you open up that hood. I'm like, great, that looks like a thing. I'm not going to buy those parts. I'm going to buy my windshield wipers, my motor oil, my floor mats, that kind of stuff. It's all right there as well. So go to rockauto.com. Very easy to use website. You're going to find the solution to all of your auto parts needs when you buy something, because I know you are going to buy something. Write Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box? That's how they know we sent you. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Let's wrap up this mailbag Monday so you can get out to your barbecue or whatever it is that you're doing on this Independence Day. Or like I said, if you're listening in some other part of the world, get on with your Monday. Dan H. asks, if the Nets aren't able to get any blockbuster offers for Kevin Durant, could this trade be possible? Durant for Brogdon, White, Grant Williams, and Peyton Pritchard? I don't think so. I don't think that's gonna do it. I don't think... I mean, look, if the Celtics, first of all, there's going to be a restriction on when they can trade Malcolm Brogdon. Whenever that's done, there's going to be a restriction on trading him back out, aggregating him inside. It's going to take a couple of months for Brogdon to be tradable in this scenario, which in this scenario probably gives the Nets time to go out there and be like, nope, it's not, we're not finding anything. Phoenix is just not working. We can't get the cap mechanics to work. Miami doesn't have anything. You got to come up with something else. They're still going to want a lot. And I don't think Brogdon and White and Grant and Pritchard's going to do for them what they think. I don't think it's going to accomplish their goal. I think there are still going to be other teams out there that can do better than Brogdon and White and Grant and Payton. Like those players are very important to the Celtics. I don't think that mix is going to work. I don't think the draft picks the Celtics are going to send over are going to work. I don't see that. I don't see a Celtics deal that doesn't involve Jaylen Brown being viable for the Celtics. Now, maybe you can say, hey, well, now that you got Brogdon, you trade Jaylen. You know, I don't know. I still don't think that the Durant for Boston, acknowledging that Kevin Durant is who he is and is as good as he is, I still think the Celtics, with these moves, accomplished their goal of adding proven, versatile, to some degree, scorers, playmaker, onto their bench. I don't think this was done in an effort to go for something bigger. I just think Kevin Durant is going to go somewhere else. He's going to have to They're going to have to find something, hopefully out west, and that's going to be it. I just don't think a Durant trade is going to happen. Dave asks, who will replace Will Hardy, and how important was he to the players and the coaching staff? Well, he's very important. He's part of a coaching staff that figured a lot out, and it's a tough hit for the Celtics. At the same time, there are a lot of really, really good basketball minds out there that can come in and be an assistant. I don't know how Ime shakes up his staff. Does he elevate one of his other coaches to that head, that basically lead assistant job? Does he bring somebody else in that he wanted to hire but wasn't available, that is now, or something like that? He's going to dip into his Rolodex, probably go back to Portland, Oregon, and find somebody from there that he trusts and add that person to the staff. Will was super important because he was the guy that basically managed the game while Ime was coaching the game. You know, he'd constantly be in Ime's ears, either seeing things that maybe he wanted to draw to Ime's attention, or letting him know that, hey, this guy's been playing this many minutes, or this guy, we might want to consider this different matchup, whatever it is. Like, he was the guy that was constantly in Ime's ear, helping him manage the game. So that's going to be something that I think it's going to be an adjustment for Ime for sure. But again, plenty of good candidates out there. I'm sure that they'll be able to adjust and just keep it going. Coaching staffs change regularly as well. And I think there are plenty of people out there that are looking for an opportunity and would see Boston, just like a player would see Boston as an opportunity to win a championship. I think a lot of coaches out there can see an opportunity to get some shine off of the Celtics and get a ring and elevate themselves. So still to be determined, but we'll see what Ime does. Finally, Andrew C. asks the most important question that I've gotten. Is it true that you gained your powers when you were bitten by a radioactive analogy? Everybody knows now that I am Analogy Man. That's my superhero power, unnecessary superhero power. I am able to use analogies to effectively explain my points. It's one of the things it's kind of my thing. I use analogies all the time. Some might say I overuse analogies, but I like to make them because it helps me explain. I think it helps me explain some of the more difficult things. And it just puts it in more relatable terms. So how did I become Analogy Man? Well, the truth is, I come from the planet Campari. The citizens of the planet Campari are called Comparisons. There was a nasty war between the two political parties there, the Metaphor Party and the Simile Party, and the world was just torn apart. I fled our world as it was just plunged into a basically planet-ending civil war. I fled to Earth, where the yellow sun has increased my powers of analogy. That's my origin story. So thank you, Andrew, for that question. Appreciate it. Thank you all for the questions, and plenty of questions come in. The questions can be sent in through my website, johncorrales.com/mailbag. If you go to johncorrales.com, you'll see the mailbag link at the top right. johncorrales.com/mailbag. Send them in. Now, the problem is that I get so many questions that I could probably do a mailbag episode all the time, like 2, 3, 4 days a week. Obviously, I can't get to that. I can try to sprinkle them in, but I can't get to them all. So I do apologize. Sometimes I try to answer questions that are kind of similar and hopefully everybody gets their answer. I really do apologize. I can't do 2-hour episodes. So I try to get it to as many. And then some of the questions that are asked have since been answered in other podcasts. So I'm saying this partly to say, hey, you should be listening to the podcast every day. But if you miss the podcast, there's a good chance that one of the questions that you had has been answered already in that podcast. So please do listen to the show every day. It's a 5-day-a-week podcast. And so there's lots of information out there. I know it's not easy to listen to the show every day, but when you miss something, there's a good chance you missed exactly what you're trying to figure out. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you're not subscribed, this is an easy way. It goes right to your device. However you use Spotify, you use an app, you will do it on Apple or Google or whatever. It's all there. It's everywhere podcasts exist. And the show is on YouTube. You can watch the show on YouTube. So you want to see my smiling face? Hello. You can do that as well. I do appreciate you all doing that. Thank you. If you're subscribing on YouTube, make sure you hit that thumbs up button. It really helps. Comments, say hi, just say go Celtics. The comments help. Everything that helps the algorithm on YouTube helps the show. So I really like that. And what also helps is sharing the podcast. If you can tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast. It's right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.